Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's December 29th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our time is sponsored by Go Raw Natural Foods, as well as our new sponsor, Universe Spirit. Universe Spirit is one of the driving forces of Job One for Humanity, which is getting ourselves together around this major climate change. And we hope you all are on board with that, as well as, well, all the new kinds of beginnings that are going to need to be happening in our world very soon.
And that's a beginning.
That is a beginning.
And we're coming close to an end. We're coming close to the end of 2015. It has been a year of a lot of changes. Maybe every year is a year of changes, but some years you experience them more. A lot has to do with people leaving the planet, people that I'm close to and aren't here anymore, and that's sad.
That's a beginning, though.
And it's a beginning for somebody, but it's, for me, it's sadness. Sadness has its own gift, that I care enough about somebody to feel sad when they're not there.
Well, that's a good place to begin, because in many ways, it is and can be for many a sad, sad world. And maybe we could begin by honoring that in others and ourselves.
Till the clock hits nine, she has a job on her own. Going home to find her dreams lying on the doesn't mind, forgives them every time for throwing away everything her heart once had in mind. Well, come, our life contains so much sin. Oh, what a sad, sad world we are living in. Done, you'll be thinking you're the only one that has to cope with all that's gone wrong, and reflecting on the essence of our being, what's real only seems real. And Mr. Cinnamon, can you believe your heart will free your mind? Welcome, our life contains so much sin. Oh, what a sad, sad world we are living in. Thinking of a better world, reflection takes another turn. It's only love that truly burns, and we will overcome. Oh. So much skin. Oh, what a brave, brave world we are living in.
Well, that was the sad, sad song. That was by New Rising Sun. And if you see him on the street singing that song, you can go, hey, New Rising Sun, how you guys doing?
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Let's be a new beginning.
We can have a better world. That's a good place to begin, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
But to acknowledge the sad, sad world. We used to work with a theologian by the name of Matthew Fox. He's written many, many books, and we worked with him at Holy Names College and when he was in Chicago at Mundelein College. And Matthew kind of reframed the Mass. He talked about certain stages we go through, and he's kind of academic, although very accessible in his amazing intelligence. But he talked about the via negativa, that part of the process of the Mass, or as a non-Catholic, someone who recognizes that when we come together, we need to go through kind of a purification, a releasing of what was. And that's the via negativa, honoring all the shadow, the dark side, because if we don't honor it and include it and face it and pour the light on it, it continues to operate in the shadows of our consciousness to, what was the word you used tonight? Deleterious results. I think that's good to kind of acknowledge that and recognize that we are, in fact, putting an end, it's a death, to 2015. It's past. Admittedly, we create these arbitrary time distinctions.
Except I realized that there is this sense of like the night and the day create a sense of time. And yet when I lived in Greenland and there was 6 months of light and 6 months of dark, which is like another measurement. People go, well, I measure my life by how many moons I've lived. But if you were on Greenland, you'd only have one moon. In 6 months.
That's why it's not very populated. People want that moon, and they don't want to wait 6 months to see the moon, and they don't want to wait 6 months to see the sun, because it's just not enough.
See the sun for 6 months, it's really strange, because it's 4 o'clock in the morning, your body is really tired, and the sun is shining. Not fun. But there's this sense that I'm going through in myself. Where's my beginning? I don't know where my end is quite yet, but I know I began. We begin mewing little beings, nursing at a tit, whether it's in a bottle or from a person. And then one day we're nursing another being. Passages is probably the best way to think of it, that we go through passages. And every day is a beginning. When I wake up in the morning, it's a beginning, a new day. What's going to happen? I have no way of knowing it. I have this one prayer that I really try to remember. How may I connect with myself and others today?
Is it connect, which is good, or serve?
And serve. But the thing is that when I really connect with somebody, the service grows out of that. You know how to serve somebody when you're truly connecting. You may serve them best by leaving them alone, by walking away from them. Or they may want a pat on the back, or they may want a piece of chocolate, or they may want some advice. You don't know until you make a real connection.
And you don't really know who's actually being served in any of those conjunctions. The best book on service that I ever read was called Serving Humanity by, was it Alice B. Toklas, I think?
Alice B. Toklas? No, Alice Bailey, maybe.
Alice Bailey. Yeah, they were sisters, the Alice sisters. No, you call them.
Alice B. Toklas was a partner of Gertrude Stein.
Well, that's a whole other story, Gertrude Stein. The kind of art connoisseur writer of the period when all those impressionists were around.
The turn of the century.
I saw a picture of her house once, inside her house, and there was all this artwork all over these very high walls. And you can just imagine all these great impressionist painters.
They gave them to many of them, and a lot of them she bought to make them feel like they had worth. But to her, they did have worth. She bought her collection.
She recognized. She was one of the recognizers. And that's very important for artists, that there are people who recognize the art. Speaking of which, I want to put in a little plug for two of our recognizers that we just love, and that is Edie and Robert. Thank you for recognizing and participating in this event, which is all about waking up and transforming and, above all, not taking ourselves too seriously, which leads me to want to invite Barney onto our program. Hi, Barney. How are you? Well, I'm fine. I think that's a very important thing because a lot of people will want to take themselves seriously. They really think that there is an important aspect of their being that needs to be acknowledged as important. So the seriously goes right along with self-importance. And that's something that you want to watch out for. When you recognize that you've really been overrating your importance, well, that's a beginning of starting toward the road toward recognizing who you really are. What was that thing you mentioned earlier, arrow, via negativa? Yeah, and via negativa. Anyway, that was a good thing because, you really have to kind of honor and put to sleep. You have to grieve. You have to mourn. Isn't that what the great teacher said? You have to mourn and let it go what was and allow it to go its way. And then the other thing he said here that I was very impressed by, he says, you know, one of the four main keys to success is follow the life and the living. Don't go after the death. I know that didn't make a lot of sense here.
It really didn't, Barney. I mean, where did you get this information from? It's very strange. I don't think I've ever heard it quite like that before.
Well, it's because my mind can, if it's left on its own for periods of time, gets kind of twisted around and it bunches up concepts together that really don't go together very well.
Ah, well, okay. I tell you what. It could be a new beginning to thinking. Just bunch up a whole bunch of concepts and don't let it mean anything at all, because sometimes that's true. When I talk to people, it seems like that's what they've got, a whole bunch of concepts that don't mean anything at all.
Well, I remember what it was now. You need to go bury this guy over here who was like ready for burial, Nathan Tobolsky, I think his name was.
What?
Yeah, this is in his time.
Barney, you're getting weirder by the second.
Now, my point is that he says, let the dead bury the dead. Honor life and the living, and let the dead go its own way. Don't hold on to it, including negative associations with life that you carry into the present as unforgiveness. But that's another subject.
Thank you, Barney.
No problem.
I will be thinking about that and mulling it around my head.
Barney, you have a certain way about you, no doubt about that. We appreciate you. And I understand that little kind of mind where it kind of goes off and it's like, where was I?
I'm thinking about that's a beginning. Every moment being a beginning. There's something very exciting about that in terms of living in the now. People talk about it being present. Each moment is brand new because you've never been there before. Of course it's brand new. What makes it not brand new is we bring yesterday, which is the dead, into that moment, and then it's not alive anymore. We kill it. We kill the moment with the expectation of what it's supposed to be. But if we allow it to blossom and bloom in front of us, it's a beginning.
That's just why it's so important to remember that all we have is the now. And that's where all beginning occurs from.
Well, it was springtime when we married. Here comes January. Bring on the ice and storm, 'cause we got love to keep us warm. But don't keep winter waiting. Oh, no, let's go skating. All that we have is now. Together in whatever weather, sunshine in the park. We'll tell ghost stories when it's dark and laugh to hide the fear and cry a perfect tear. 'Cause all that we have is now. We must do this again sometime, but I can't tell you when. But what a joyous view, but all that we have is now. Well, I wanted more somehow, but all that we have is now. Is all that we have is now.
All That We Have Is Now by Jesse Winchester. Speaking of the now, that's always a great place to start from. Professor, you want to say something about that?
Of course, thank you so much. I always love starting at the point at which the starting begins, rather than trying to start at some other point along the way where there is no beginning. It's somewhere in the middle, which makes it difficult to start with, which is why you really have to be there each moment and start with the moment as it is beginning, and rather than on your own schedule, when you might be late. It's something I make a habit of trying, at least.
That is so articulate. Thank you, Professor.
I try to make it a habit and appreciating that, well, that's a beginning. For example, if I do something really dunderheaded and I tend to look at myself and say, well, that was really rather, well, dunderheaded. And so I go, but no, just wait there a minute, I say to that voice that's always going cantankerously at me. That's a beginning, you see, because that has passed, that version of me expressing that thought, and now we're up at this thought. And so this is a beginning, which I'm happy to be a part of and interested to see where it takes us. Ah, perhaps to another beginning. So if each moment is a beginning, then it's just always constantly beginning, which means to me that the very source of reality, the supreme beginner-er, must be beginning with us. So the universe is in a state of ongoing beginningness.
Oh, I think that's very true. Universe is in a constant state of beginningness. Every second is brand new. Every second has everything in it that belongs just to that instantaneous little tiny, tiny bit of time, which is almost non-measurable because it changes so fast. But it's different in the next second or whatever. We talk of seconds and minutes and things like that. And those are measurable, at least in our minds, because we need to measure things. We need to count, like the Sesame Street. The count counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we count. That's what our life has come to. We count seconds, we count minutiae. Seconds, we count. That's what we do.
I told you that once I tried creating a special Sabbath day for me where my commitment was not to do any counting. Eliminate quantity, numbering as a factor in your day. And let me tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10.
But who's counting?
It was a 9 in difficulty.
That's the beginning. Is the awareness of how difficult it is, because we're programmed on this planet anyway. Maybe not every culture, but certainly our culture, that's the only one I know since this is the one I grew up in, is very much accountable, constantly counting. We have 9 clocks in our house, everybody, and we live in a one-room house with a bathroom, and we have 9 clocks. And you want to know something else? None of them have the right time. So we have to subtract 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 9 minutes here. And it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you young. It also makes you nuts.
It does both, doesn't it? And it's very good at that. But again, that's a beginning. And so as we think about the new year, and if we use it, though arbitrary, as a demarcation point between this particular section of our life, 2015, and now we're beginning this new section. It's a new chapter in the ongoing mini-series that was written and developed about each of us. And we are the stars in our own mini-series. And as a result of which, we have a series of mini-episodes that happen to us.
Constantly.
Let me ask you, Professor Schnitzel, do you ever watch miniseries? Do you have any sense about any of that?
Well, yeah. What you are is you are very many, of course. That's the main thing, is they recognize you are so many. But don't feel bad, because there is lots that's minier than you are. They call those miniatures. You're on your way to being a miniature, but you're not completely miniature, because if you, in order to be the miniature, you would have to be like all the way down to the subatomic particles, and they're not friendly. They don't let in whole complex molecular atomic systems. Mm-mm, no, you have to come kind of be like them and just be simply a little boop, energy blob that's happening on the universe. But you collect these little energy blobs around the universe, and then you put them together in a very organized way, and sure enough, you have a beginning of life. Oh, my. Although sometimes I wonder, I don't think there was any actual beginning to the universe, but evidently there are beginnings of phenomena. Yeah, and the phenomena take place, and they start. There where it is, from the people I know and the universe that are working and living there. They leaked this to me, that once something starts, it never ends, unless it wants to end. And then, of course, the universe is a very allowing place. It will let them leave. But other than that, if you're here and you want to stay here, and you are able to be here, all you have to do is get with the program.
Where is here?
Here, the now, in this next beginning moment, wherever you are.
So as long as you're here, you may choose not to be here?
That's right. At a certain point, I think it's possible, because you don't have to endlessly participate in existence. You do have a choice. No one would foist it on you. But of course, if you are like so inclined, some people may be so not with life. Hard to believe, I understand that, but nevertheless, they could like say no.
You're not talking in a lifetime, are you? Like a human lifetime, you're talking beyond lifetime. If there's more than this human lifetime, which is very short, then what you're talking about is at some point in that evolution, you can choose, because to choose to leave in this short lifetime is suicidal.
Yeah, not only is it suicidal, you don't know nothing. So what are you basing your choice on? You're like a little bit of pip squeak squeaking out of the womb, and you live a life not much bigger than a womb itself, and then you leave, as in the particle that's a little mini, minuscule aspect of existence, that's you. But you, the you that's growing, that can't fit into body anymore, because the soul is like expanding exponentially. And only just being able to say the word exponentially tells you there's a soul inside there that suggested the concept. And so you can't stay on the body. You're already so big if you stop. You listeners out there, when you stop and you check out your being, you will see, especially if you've lived a little while here and you're getting older, you will see that who you are and your sense of your presence is so much greater than the body that you are walking around in. So, of course, you have to leave it behind.
Do you think that's true of every single solitary mortal on the planet? I don't.
I only met 93% of every single solitary mortal on the planet, so I can't speak for the other 7% that I didn't meet. But yeah, I would say close to 5,478,000,000, pretty much, wanted to go on. I don't know about the other 1.5 billion mortals.
Well, okay, we can get into this a little bit more, because consciousness plays a big part in growing your soul. If you're a very new soul, you're not even conscious that you have a soul. And it maybe expands a little bit just by having life experiences and choosing certain things over other things. But if you don't choose those things over other things, like you don't choose life and you choose death in the sense that you perpetuate the via negativa, then you're not growing your soul at all. You're just called treadmill. You're just going round and round and round and round, and you're not moving. There's no movement that's real other than the energy itself, the energy you expel and breathe in and breathe out, that you do respirate. And you never know, like when those isolated moments when you actually touch another being and something beautiful happens. But if you're not conscious of it, is this growth? Or do you grow whether you're conscious or not?
I think you grow whether you're conscious or not, but you may not be aware of it.
That's just it.
That's it?
Conscious or not. If you're not conscious, obviously you're not aware of it.
Wait a minute. You just said that's just it? That's the it we've been looking for?
No, that's not the it we're looking for.
Well, you said that's just it.
That's just it. If you're not conscious, you're not aware.
Oh, that's the it.
You're looking for it. Yeah. I thought that's a beginning, looking for it.
Well,
that is definitely a beginning when you're looking for it. Don't sit too long because it may pass you by.
Having said that, I'd like to invite Father O'Malley to kind of weigh in on this conversation, if you would, Father. Oh, sure, it is. I'm always happy to weigh in. Of course, the more I live, the bigger I get, and there's more of me to weigh in with, actually. Far more than I really need to carry around in this, as you point out there, Errol and Rochelle, this little mini little life there. But if you could see a new beginning, not just in yourself, but you look at anyone or anything that you come in contact with anywhere, anytime, and you do like a snapshot that erases the old when the shutter closes, boop, and you open up the other one, and it opens up, and the shutter opens up, and it's there, it's brand new. And if you're looking for it to be brand new, guess what? It is brand new. That's the way it is. So we get to decide, which makes it a very good thing there as a way to have everything be a new beginning, because every moment is an opportunity to make that choice. And it's the choice and these series of choices that are going on. Choices are like grabbing onto little pieces of matter, soul matter, I should say, and take them and attaching them to yourself with some kind of spiritual adhesive. And that becomes the part of you that's growing. It's every one of these little interactions that are happening where you and something else really transpire something. And since that's all the universe is made up of anyway, which is just patterns and relationships, every time you make a relationship with something, that's what adds to your being. Because you are essentially a relationship. And of course, you're in relationship to everything else. Okay. Rochelle, did you follow him?
Well, I guess I picked what I understood and kind of left behind what I didn't.
I had a little trouble following him, but go ahead. What did you get?
I do believe that we are always in relationship. It's absolutely impossible not to be in relationship with something or someone. I mean, you're in a relationship with yourself 24/7. I'm in relationship with the chair that I'm sitting in and that I'm writing with. There's always that sense of relationship. It's a connection, and that's a relationship. But I do believe that there's choice that's conscious, and then there's choice that is unconscious. You know, you just choose certain things because you just have to.
It's a habit. It's a pattern. It's the lower
brain.
And there's
other things like, why am I doing that? Why am I saying that? Why am I getting upset? For what reason? Something triggers it off, you get upset. You start yelling at somebody. There's a point where you go, wait a second. Why am I truly getting upset? And how does this further? Or how does this become more? How does this enhance my life? Getting angry. If you don't ask those questions at some point, it's like I said before, a treadmill, you just go round and round and you just repeat the same things over and over and over again. But yeah, the minute over. You question what you're doing, go ahead.
There's a step that comes just before that, which is, ow, this pattern hurts. And so you go, do I want it to hurt? Of course, you're going to probably resist it hurting and all the other things that we tend to do with things that hurt. And then there's a certain point where you consider, well, maybe there's a way for it to not hurt. And then at that point, you've opened the way for the why word to enter.
I don't know if it's always hurt, but that's why I use the word further. Does it further? Does it enhance my life? Not so much that it causes me pain, but it doesn't give me joy. It doesn't bring me any further than this. Was I walking on the beach and I only had this tiny little space to walk in, like 10 feet, and go 10 feet, and I walk back 10 feet, and I walk 10 feet, it probably wouldn't be painful, but all of a sudden you look and you realize there's more than 10 feet of this beach. Why am I not walking it? There's more. And I want that. This seems so confining. So I don't know that it's just pain that makes you move forward. The realization that you're missing something. There's more to have. That's the thrust of making choices too.
Thrust of making choices. I like that. Makes me want to just make choices.
Don't go there. You can come.
Makes me want to
make choices. That's right.
Make choices.
Making choices is fun.
It's not just this beginning, but there's taking the time to remember beginnings.
Alone, she cries, let me be.
That would be the elephant revival, remembering a beginning.
I like knowing things like that because then I can be a scribe. That's a beginning.
This is inside out, the naked truth. We're dealing with a new beginning because this is a new year.
Actually, we're dealing with a beginning.
Because
every beginning is new. That would be redundant.
If I may say something here, this is Rabbi. Redundancy is not a bad thing, but it's good to know that it's a redundancy. So if you'd like, say, a new beginning, you could say a beginning anew. And it's still the same thing. We are thinking that's like so bad to have the same thing that's beginning. We look at it and we say, oh, new. It's a Jewish expression, new, N-U. And when you say new to somebody, what you're saying, Chaime, what's happening? How's your life? What's going on? So you say no. So if you think of a new year, you say to the year that's coming, no, what's going to happen? What's going on? And you know what the year says to you? Wait and you'll find out.
I think that's very true. Wait and you will find out. I love the people who predict things. They go, oh, this is going to happen, you know, in 1916, we'll see blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, 1917 comes and you go, oh, well, that didn't happen and that didn't happen. Oh, that happened. Oh, I guessed right. I must be a predictionary.
A predictionary. We've often said that about Rochelle. Rochelle's really a predictionary, isn't she? And those that were in the conversation said, yes, that's what she is.
I know one thing, that more people died in 1915 than had ever died before. And I have a feeling more people are going to die in 1916 that had never died before.
That's remembering beginnings. I assume 1915 and 1916.
Yeah, that was true. I think I kind of thrown off my own rhythm with deaths of people that I remember, had relationship with, you know, knowing that they're not there anymore. There's part of that that knocked me for a loop, as they say. And there's that awareness that your own death at a certain point is closer than further away. And that's okay. But the loss of people that I care about, even though there's a new beginning, there's a beginning in that loss. It doesn't feel like that in the moment. It feels like the end is more apparent than the beginning.
The beginning is in the end, and the end is in the beginning. There was a play I directed by Murray Schiskow. For those of you who kind of know a little bit about the world of Murray Schiskow, and this postman kidnaps this woman and brings her to his house. But it's a comedy, and they have this bizarre, funny interaction. I don't remember it, except I do remember one of the lines was he was in front of her and he had his fingers going up and down. He says, the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end, and the end. You had to be there and see the play.
I think so, or something like it. But that's true. I mean, if there's no beginnings and there's no ends and it all runs together, I mean, it doesn't go, okay, the curtain has just come down, let's applaud. It doesn't really happen like that, because with death, everybody around them is alive and there's life happening, even though you're not. There's other things going on. It's like a continuum that doesn't recognize that everybody has to stop. Because something died. You don't stop. You continue. So that the beginning is still taking place as this seeming end. And even the end has beginnings, because things happen to your corporeal being as a result of dying that is brand new, that has never happened before, no matter how it ends up or begins. What did I just say?
What you led to, for me, was this whole idea of non-resistance, that each moment offers us an opportunity to go into resistance, which means setting up a wall between ourself and that which we're perceiving. And sometimes the wall is good. Boundaries are good. You don't want that harmful thing to enter into your system if you can stop it. But on the other hand, you maintain a fundamental connection with life. So you can be discriminating, recognizing that you're always one with everything, and certain aspects of it will just kind of surface and stick their tongue out at you and make raspberry sounds. And you'll go, yeah, they do that. Those little bad beginnings that you don't like. You have a lot of bad beginnings. And we haven't talked about the bad beginnings, and where you start off down a sentence and you switch sentences to talking about something else. Or whatever.
I think something becomes bad in terms of time. If it hurts and you think it's not going to end, then it's really bad. But if it happens and then it's over, it has a different meaning. It has a different quality to it. So if you're living in the moment, let's say you cut your finger. Oh, I cut my finger. That's all there is to it. But then if I put onto it, oh my God, that's going to hurt for a long time. And what am I going to do? And how am I going to work with my finger incapacitated and all that other stuff that you bring to it? But in that moment, it's like, oh, I hurt my finger. And then that's it. That's all there is at that moment. The next moment maybe is my finger hurts, and it could go on for weeks.
You just helped me understand that statement where you say, don't add insult to injury. There you are having the injury, and you're saying to the injury, you are so bad for being so painful. And the injury is going, hey, don't insult me. I don't need your insults. It's hard enough for me to be a pain and an injury. Do I need your insults by condemning me for being an injury just because my message is pain? I want you to do something about it, obviously. And that's why you don't want to add insult to the injury, because it gets insulted.
I'm so glad you cleared that up. I could have gone through the rest of my life not having a greater understanding of that particular phrase, not only that, but appreciating it. So thank you.
I hope you all appreciate that are listening out there. It's a good sign to you. So, for example, to take it a little step further, if someone is having injury from the past that they're holding on to, ways that they may have judged themselves and been hard on themselves, that they haven't forgiven themselves, and as a result, they send out this very conflicted energy system, and it pushes you away, and if you're not well-developed, you'll want to attack back and condemn or belittle the person, which feeds into the original injury. And that's another way of adding insult to injury that sustains it on a psychic level and inhibits a beginning of forgiveness, which ultimately is the releaser of all pent-up negative energy.
I love the beginning of forgiveness. I love forgiveness when it rears its head and creates a salve over my wounds, whether they're emotional or physical. It's a healing.
It is a healing thing. And speaking of healing, though, and before we get too far away from it, I want to address the day, New Year's Day. I found this song. We played this group last week, Pentatonics, and they've come up with what I think is just a super New Year's Day song. So here they are, Pentatonics, New Year's Day.
Tonight the apple falls in time. We'll sing along with Auld Lang Syne and throw confetti high up into space. Tomorrow morning when we wake, this town will be a different place, and the past will wash away like coffee stains. We could be kings of the world, on top of the nation. It's a celebration of the moments to come. The city's on fire, we're holding up lighters, raising them higher, and we've only begun.
pentatonic, singing, morning breaks, take my hand, wide awake, with arms wide open. Catch your breath, walk this way, no regrets on New Year's Day. Morning breaks, take my hand, kings of the world, top of the nation, wide awake, with arms wide open. It's a celebration of the moments to come.
And so is every day, every moment, not just New Year's Day. But I really believed at one point that you wake up and you're scrubbed clean on New Year's Day. That image of the old man before midnight and then the baby shows up, which is the new year. Remember that image of an old man with a big beard and then a little tiny baby?
Oh, yeah. He had like a scythe or something.
No, that was death.
Oh, I get the guys mixed up.
Yeah, well, they're old. I always think of my birthday as New Year's, my New Year's. That's the year that I began, and that every year that comes on that day is my New Year's. Remember when 2000 came and we watched all those television programs that were taking place when every different place under every different time zone was celebrating New Year's Eve? Realized that a lot of them were 6 hours difference between mine and theirs. And so my New Year's Eve and their New Year's Eve were different. They had a different time. And therefore, was it okay to celebrate it if it wasn't the right
time?
Does
it count?
Does it count?
And we're back to the number thing again. You see, does it count? If you're celebrating a New Year's that's already happened in the future but hasn't happened to you, I don't think it counts.
That's right. It's not a new year at all. See?
No.
Just like obliterated.
I think you're cheating.
That's what happens when we're connected to the globe. You know, there was a time when we weren't aware of that. We weren't aware of time zones or anything else. And people had their night when they had their night. And we had our night when we had our night. And we really believed everybody was nighttime at the same time. We didn't think that somebody was having morning when we were having night. It was like inconceivable. And then we started to realize that. I think that's wonderful, the fact that we realized that there's this difference. To me, it's a beginning of understanding.
Speaking of a new beginning and making that distinction between self and other, our granddaughter turned 10 months, didn't she, this week?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just approaching that stage in one's early development when they're starting to make a distinction between self and other. They begin to create that separation, that necessary separation or individuation, I think is a good word for it, so that you can kind of step back from the other, in quotes. If you can't see me, my fingers are kind of going up and down two on each hand. And to make that distinction, and that goes back to a point that we'd like to make sure we cover every week, which is to realize that it's all an illusion, just as arbitrarily saying this is 2016, of what probably is more like several billion years. But that's okay. We can just say, okay, let's start counting from this point. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. As long as you count, since it's important to realize how much you count and to also realize how much you count and to make that distinction.
I like that distinction best of all.
Yeah?
Yep, I do. I like to know that I count, you count, we all count. And that's a beginning, when you realize that I count, you count, we all count.
Speaking of beginning, this is a song that's in Hebrew, but it just sounds so good, and it's called By the End of the World.
שכאן זה התחיל ולא ייגמר ואין בעולם עוד כזאת אהבה כמו אז בתנך כמו אדם וחווה אני רוצה שתדע אליך אחריך עד סוף העולם רוצה ש...
I'm not exactly sure what the lyrics mean, Rochelle, but I think it's something about you. I think it's about saying Rochelle is a being to behold, and you have been gifted with 40 years of beholding her. Of course, it did include a fair amount of nagging, but hey, it's part of the deliciousness.
Remember what I told you?
What?
I only nag because when I ask you to do something and you don't do it, then I have to ask you again and again and again. It starts to sound like nagging.
But who's counting?
Who's counting?
Yeah, but that's a beginning. Now, let's just listen to her just for a minute more as she sings.
בלב, ואם אתה נשבר גם לי זה כואב, אתה שמשלים בי את מה שחסר, אוסף אותי כשליבי מתפורר, ואין בעולם עוד כזאת אהבה כמו אז בתנך, כמו אדם.
Elena Ilyaev, and singing about Rochelle's sterling presence in the universe, of course.
Oh, he won points.
So this is Inside Out. Our sponsor is Go Raw, Universe Spirit, healthy food, healthy consciousness, important things to be conscious of, very conscious people, companies, because they're really bringing in better and best and fixing and making things more whole. And that's what we try and do on this show
every
week.
And that's the beginning.
So for all you cynics out there, you know, maybe kick it off for a little bit this year. Just take it off once in a while and just look for those new beginnings that want to transpire everywhere that you can let them in. And with that having been said, Rochelle, let me ask you a question. What do we need to remember?
That resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Well, that's a beginning.
Sure is.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody. May it be a beginning every day.
Of course, thank you so much. I always love starting at the point at which the starting begins, rather than trying to start at some other point along the way where there is no beginning. It's somewhere in the middle, which makes it difficult to start with, which is why you really have to be there each moment and start with the moment as it is beginning, rather than on your own schedule, when you might be late.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.